The air in a high-end London architectural firm doesn't just smell like expensive Revit workstations and over-roasted Arabica. It smells like ego. It's a sterile, pressurized scent that tells you exactly how much you have to lose. I was 3 weeks out from the South Bank presentation, the kind of career-defining project that makes an associate partner when the first tremor hit. Not a structural failure, but a phone call. My desk was a sanctuary of precision. Drafting pens aligned, my CAD monitors glowing with the skeletal beauty of a glass atrium. Then my desk phone rang. It wasn't an internal extension, it was an outside line. "Priya, it's David." My husband's voice sounded thin, vibrating with a frequency that didn't belong in this building. David is white, British, and usually the embodiment of stiff upper lip, until he isn't. He wasn't calling to ask about dinner. He was calling because he'd found the receipts I thought I'd buried in a digital vault. He was calling because the late nights at the office had finally lost their architectural justification. I tried to keep my voice at a professional simmer. "David, I'm in the middle of a design review. I'll call you at 6. Is Julian there?" he asked. The name hit the glass walls of my cubicle like a sledgehammer. Julian, my senior partner, my mentor. The man whose signature was currently authorizing my promotion and whose hands had been everywhere they shouldn't have been during our site visits in Shoreditch. "David, stop," I whispered, my heart hammering against my ribs, a frantic syncopated rhythm. But he didn't stop, he hung up. 10 minutes later, the reception desk went into a panicked flutter. I didn't see David, but I heard the aftermath. He didn't come to find me. He called the main switchboard and asked to be put through to Julian's wife, who happened to be a silent director of the firm. When that failed, he didn't go quiet. He started leaving voicemails on the general office line. Raw, guttural, unfiltered voicemails detailing exactly what he thought of Julian's mentorship. The shift in the office was instantaneous. It wasn't a gradual realization, it was a flash flood. 1 minute, I was the rising star, the brilliant Indian woman who had outworked every Oxbridge grad in the room. The next, I was a biohazard. I walked toward the break room and watched the circles of architects break apart like mercury. The hushed tones didn't stop, they just changed pitch. I caught my reflection in the floor-to-ceiling glass. My sari silk blouse was perfectly pressed, my hair a sharp professional bob, but my eyes looked like they belonged to a ghost. I could feel the heat of their stares on the back of my neck. By noon, it wasn't about the affair anymore. It was gossip. It was a spectator sport. I saw the junior designers whispering over their iPads, eyes darting toward Julian's closed mahogany door. Julian emerged at 2 p.m. He looked refreshed. That was the sickening part. He straightened his tailored blazer, checked his Patek Philippe, and walked toward the boardroom. He didn't look at me. He didn't have to. In this world, the man is an asset, the woman is a liability, especially a woman who brings domestic drama into a space reserved for billion-pound visions. I was called into HR at 4:45 p.m. The air in there was colder. They didn't mention the affair. They didn't mention Julian. They spoke about culture fit and distractions to the team. They spoke about how my personal life had spilled into the professional arena in a way that compromised the firm's reputation. "We're concerned about your well-being, Priya," the HR director said, her voice dripping with a fake, medicinal sympathy that felt like a slap. "Perhaps some time away to settle your home affairs." Julian stayed protected. He was the visionary. I was the entanglement. As I packed my leather briefcase, I watched him through the glass of the boardroom, laughing with a client, a glass of scotch in his hand. He had navigated the storm by simply pretending it was raining on someone else. I walked out of the revolving doors into the London drizzle, the South Bank project still glowing on the monitors behind me. My career hadn't just stalled, it had been dismantled by a single phone call and the silent, complicit brotherhood of the office. It became gossip before it ever became sympathy. And as I hailed a cab, I realized the most edgy truth of all. In the high-stakes world of power, the truth doesn't set you free. It just makes you the first person they're willing to sacrifice.